chapter 17, Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, there's an event that is doctrinally very important, but that's not really where I'm going to focus tonight. I ask you to think about this. We sang, even in the valley, God is good. We sang, if ever I love thee, Lord Jesus, I love thee now. The quartet sang, we'll see him face to face. I want you to think about some of the trials and some of the disappointments of this life. Even in the valley, God is good. And that's what I'd like to focus on for a few minutes this evening. But let's read the text. This is the Lord Jesus transfigured on the mount. And it is a preview of the second advent. The Lord Jesus is glorified. His appearance is bright. And like his raiment is white and bright. And Moses and Elijah are present. And Peter, James, and John had the privilege to experience this. Look at it. Chapter 17, Gospel of Matthew, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, And when they lift up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. There are 3 voices in this. There is a foolish voice at the appearance of Moses and Elijah and the Lord glorified. Look, please, at verse 4. Peter said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Amen. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. It wasn't time to build tabernacles. Some believe that the setting for this is the Feast of Tabernacles, but that's not really my point. My point is, Peter is ready to build something, and this event didn't last very long, as I can tell in the text, so it wasn't any time to build tabernacles. Tabernacles are shelters, and in the context, the Feast of Tabernacles, they're temporary shelters, kind of like the old bull rush meetings outdoors and all that. But anyway, that's a foolish statement. Now notice the very important statement, the Father's voice, verse 5. He said, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Then he says, Hear ye him. Peter, don't talk anymore. Hear ye him. Listen to him. And then there's a familiar voice. It's verse 7. Jesus touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. So many times the Lord Jesus said, Fear not, fear not. Fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so in the passage, you have the transfiguration of our Lord. But you have 1 of 3 times in the New Testament when the Father speaks from heaven. The first is Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, at the baptism of our Lord. And a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And here is the second. It is verse 5. Again, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But then a voice from heaven spoke in John chapter 12, verse 28. Jesus prayed. He said, Father, glorify thy name. There came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. But I want you to notice, God the Father said, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, He pleased the Father. Whatever you do in this life and whatever people think of you, if you will please God, my dear friend, you are on solid ground. My Savior, the Lord Jesus, my Father in heaven said, I am well pleased with Him. Now, He couldn't please men. He couldn't please the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In John chapter 7, the Pharisees are talking about how to deal with him, and it's not good. And Nicodemus spoke up, John chapter 7, verse 51. He says, Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Well, that's a fair statement. Verse 52, they answered and said unto him, this body of Pharisees, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Now, when they say Galilee, when they call him the Galilean, it's accurate, but it's disparaging because they don't like Galilee. My dad was from Hope Mills. The Grimes people grew up in Hope Mills. John Wesley Grimes was my great-grandfather, and he came to Hope Mills in about 1912, and my people are from Hope Mills. My daddy used to joke all the time about being from Hope Mills, and for some folks, Hope Mills is a disparaging place. You're from Hope Mills? I grew up in Spring Lake, North Carolina. What if you say, Spring Lake? You're from Spring Lake? Ha, ha, ha. Well, that's the sense of this. Out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. If you're from Spring Lake, my apologies. Art thou also of Galilee? Now listen to this. Search and look. Out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. So Jesus is called the Galilean. He's prophet and priest and king. But the implication, according to the Pharisees, is this. If he is from Galilee, he couldn't possibly be a prophet. Wait a minute. Search and look. Look in the scriptures. Out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. I can think of one. I can think of Jonah. Now, he was a disobedient prophet, but he had the greatest one-day revival in the history of the world. I can think of another one, Elijah. There were prophets from Galilee. But the point is this, the Lord Jesus could not please men. Isn't that something? He lived a sinless life. The power of God was on his life. His message and his authority was confirmed by signs and wonders and miracles. And yet he couldn't please them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, Paul said this. He speaks about the Jews and he says, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God. Well, I ask you to think about this. Are you pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ? The Father's pleased with him. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Are you pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, to answer that question, you must first know him. You couldn't be pleased with him if you have rejected him. You couldn't be pleased with him if you've not received the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So tonight I ask you this, is Jesus Christ your Savior? Has there been that time in your life when you understood the gospel and you responded to the gospel, you believed in your heart, and you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you believed that God raised him from the dead, and you called upon him in prayer and trusted him as your Savior, you're born again, you're adopted into the family, and you have an assurance of eternity, not based upon you and your good works or your faith or even your response to the gospel, but based upon the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is able to save to the uttermost. If Jesus is your Savior, and you're here on a Sunday night, that's rather unusual in Christianity today. So I assume you desire to serve him. But there are trials in life. Even in the valley, God is good. Are you pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ? The Father's pleased with him. Are you pleased with your place in his church, in his ministry, in life, what he has for you? Are you endeavoring to seek and to do his will? Are you pleased? You face trials and you face difficulties, but are you pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for your goodness to us, and I thank you that even in the valley you are so good. I'm thankful for all that you've done for us and all that you are and all that you will do. And I ask you to help us to keep things in proper perspective in our lives and to rejoice in your presence always and to endeavor in every way, in every circumstance, those things we find desirable and those things that we'd rather not experience. Help us to give you the glory in all of it. Help us to seek and to do your will. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this book, the Bible, that is given by inspiration, preserved for us. Thank you for our Savior and all that he's done for us. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. My Father, I ask you to speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to examine ourselves. I ask in my Savior's name. Amen and amen. Listen, you know, even among committed Christians, even among people that have a Bible assurance of eternity, even among people who love the Lord Jesus, we are prone occasionally to murmuring and complaining. And I want to examine myself, and I want to endeavor to put that away. I don't want that to be my testimony, because God has been so good to me. Now, why do people get disappointed? Why do they sometimes complain? Why do they not necessarily see themselves as pleased with their place in life? Well, number one is unanswered prayer, or what they perceive to be unanswered prayer. I have people say to me, well, God doesn't answer my prayers. Listen, the answer is yes or no, or it may be wait. But he answers prayer, unanswered prayer, unanswered prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry. You ought to be concerned about many things, and you're to be responsible for many things, but be careful for nothing. Don't worry. Don't be given to worry. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You're in Matthew chapter 17, and in verse 5, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Unanswered prayer. Look for just a moment in that same chapter and look at verse 14. Are you there? Look at 17:14. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, he came to the Lord Jesus. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire. And often, and oft into the water. And notice he's sore vexed. Who vexed him? Well, in verse 18, the Lord Jesus rebuked the devil. But look at verse 16. I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Now, if you study the apostles, the Lord gave them certain signs that confirmed their ministry, and among those signs, they could cast out demons. But in this chapter, in this particular account, they weren't able to do that. Now, notice, please, verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Now watch verse 21. Watch this. Howbeit, this kind. You've got a boy that is demon-possessed. You've got a boy that is completely controlled, and he's in danger of his life. I mean, casting himself into the fire, casting himself into water. Howbeit, this kind goeth out not by prayer and fasting. Ladies and gentlemen, some things require a focus on prayer, intense prayer, prolonged prayer, and yes, even fasting. This kind, some things are not accomplished except by prayer and fasting. You say, why fasting? Fasting is to say to the flesh, your appetite is not going to be met. You're going to do without. And it's to really draw you near to the Lord. And it's not an easy thing to do. But this kind cometh not by prayer and fasting. I remind you of Job. Job chapter 1, Job faces a great trial. The trial intensifies in Job chapter 2. His friends come to help him in Job chapter 3. And they are miserable comforters. They don't help him one bit. Now, from the time his trial began, all the way through the book of Job, he does not hear from God. At least it's not recorded that he did. Now, God spoke in chapter 1. God spoke in chapter 2. Nothing else is attributed to God. There's no statement attributed to God in Job chapter 3 through Job chapter 37. So Job goes through the worst kind of trial. I mean the worst kind of trial. None of us has faced what Job faced. Job lost it all. Job lost his health. He lost children. For 37 chapters, he doesn't hear from the Lord. And then, after he murmurs and complains, and he wasn't right to murmur and complain, but I'm not going to cast any stones because I've never faced what he faced. And I murmured and complained for less. But after 37 chapters, in chapter 38, the Lord speaks to him, and here's what the Lord says. Job 38, verse 3. Job, gird up thy loins like a man. Job, be a man. Now, I want to remind you of something, a promise in the Scriptures. And sometimes it's hard to apply. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation. And temptation in 1 Corinthians 10:13 is a trial. there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. So everything you face, others have faced as well. Frequently, most of the time, it's packaged differently. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, that's the promise. If you belong to God tonight, you see, the whole thing that I'm attempting to present is directed at Christians. If you're here tonight and you're not genuinely saved or you're not sure, then you really can't claim the promise. But here's the promise. God will not permit anything into your life. You won't face any event, any trial, any difficulty, any temptation beyond which you are able to bear and to withstand if you'll just trust God and be obedient. That's the promise. But listen, for faith to be tried, you know, faith that is not tried is faith that is not proven, and faith that is not proven may not be genuine. For faith to be tried, you're sometimes going to face some trials that put you very close to that line where you're able to handle it. Another side, you perhaps couldn't. And God knows about that. Here's the point. When you face that insurmountable trial, when you face that trial that seems insurmountable, that you seem, I don't know what to do. I don't know. I can't handle this. The Lord says, you can't handle it. Just trust me. Just trust me. Walk by faith and not by sight. And be faithful to pray. Some people are disappointed. They're not pleased because of their perception, what they believe to be unanswered prayers. Number two, undesirable predicaments. Trials in life, difficulties, reversals, poor health, various things. Now, with the undesirable predicament, the thing in your life, I don't like this circumstance, you have to look at it and you have to really analyze it and you have to examine yourself. This predicament, is it because of some poor decisions I have made? Is it because I have been disobedient in some area? Or is it simply a trial that could not be avoided, and I know no reason for it other than God permitted it? Now, if it's the result of poor decisions, and you've got to go over there to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, and if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to forgive, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Pardon me, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and you've got to get that right. But if it's just a trial that you have no, there's no apparent reason for it. It's just something that has happened. Now, listen, you got to remember this too. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is under a curse. God said to Adam after the fall, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall it bring forth unto thee all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee. We live in a fallen world. And an undesirable predicament, a situation with which you are not pleased. It's not the way I want it to be. It didn't go the way I wanted. The modern prosperity preaching would lead one to believe that if you're right with God, you're going to do well financially and everything's going to go well and you're going to have good health and everything's going to go well. And my friend, that's not Bible. And I ask you to think about the Apostle Paul and think about the men in the Bible and the individuals, the men and women in the Bible who served God and some of the things they faced. You see, listen, we need to get things in proper perspective. Sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves and we're not really thinking clearly. Because if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've got those exceeding great and precious promises, you have everything for which to be grateful. You read Philippians, and Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And he was in prison unjustly at the time. You must also think about what have Christians faced throughout the church age, and what do they face in other places, in other parts of the world tonight? And when you put that in proper comparison, you say, well, we don't have it. It's not so bad for us. The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, you've heard this. More than likely you've heard it. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. And I just say, compare yourself to what others have faced throughout the church age. Listen, all of the apostles died for the faith. They wouldn't deny the Lord Jesus Christ. They obeyed him even to death. Throughout the church age, a great many have been persecuted, a great many have suffered, and a great many have died rather than deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Undesirable predicaments. In Jeremiah chapter 12, Jeremiah is praying, and he really went in the wrong direction in his prayer. And I don't blame him. I can't justify him, but I don't blame him. He was disappointed. He's called the weeping prophet. He was called of God, and he had great expectations. You read chapter 1. God called him, and he's a prophet of God. And his ministry is Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is positioned to be judged by God. And he wants them to turn to God, and he wants them to get things in order. And he loves Jerusalem, and he wants Jerusalem to be saved. I love America, and I want America to be saved. But he's called the weeping prophet because he was not received well at all. Now listen, he was obedient. The results, well, that's up to the Holy Spirit of God. You and me, we're to be obedient. You can't judge a man's spirituality by the attendance of the church or by the number of converts. Oh, those things are important, don't get me wrong, but many times there are individuals that are in difficult circumstances. And even in those places where the gospel is not received very well, God desires a gospel witness to be present there. Jeremiah is disappointed and he prays. Jeremiah 12, verse 1, listen to this. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Started off so well. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet, one word, and he changes direction. Yet, let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are they happy that deal very treacherously? Jeremiah says, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. And he says, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Lord, I don't think you got it right. I'm not doing well, and the way of the wicked, they prosper. That's the sense of what was on his heart at the time. And he said, wherefore are they happy that deal very treacherously? Well, they're not as happy as they might appear. But they appear to be doing so well, and Jeremiah's not doing so well. And you might be here tonight and you might say, well, I'm not doing so well, but my unsaved friends are doing well, my unsaved family members are doing well, my unsaved community, they're doing well. I'm not doing well. Are you in the will of God? Jeremiah said, wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? And then God spoke with him, and God answered his prayer. He says, why are they doing so well? And here's what God said. He didn't say, Jeremiah, oh my goodness, sorry for you, pat on the back. No, he didn't say that. You see, the Lord Jesus, he's the way, the truth, and the life. The truth sometimes hard to bear. Jeremiah 12:5, here's what the Lord said to Jeremiah. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? You know what he said? Jeremiah, much like he said to Job, he says, be a man because it's probably going to get worse. He said, if you can't deal with the footmen, what are you going to do when the cavalry comes? If you can't deal with the footmen, what are you going to do when they come on horseback? You see, he's saying, it can very likely get worse. And for Jeremiah, it did. Oh, it did, yes. If in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do when the swelling of Jordan? The sense of that is, if in a good time when things are good, you're struggling to be faithful, then what are you going to do in a time of tragedy and trial? What are you going to do when Jordan overflows its banks? You know, a tragedy will make you desire the routine in the mundane, will it not? But the Lord said to Jeremiah, what are you going to do when it gets worse? We are a comfortable people. Let us not murmur and complain, because what are we going to do when it gets worse? We have precious young people that have been raised up in Christian homes, been raised up in good churches, received Christian education, And I'm grateful for the young people here tonight who are so faithful. They are such a blessing to me. Young person, you don't know what it means to an old man to see young people that love Jesus. But so many of them go off in another direction and say, oh, I don't like that legalism. No, the problem is you want worldliness. You want worldliness. That's the problem. I remind you of Demas. You know, Demas is referred to as one of Paul's fellow laborers. And Paul, in one place, speaks highly of him. And then as Paul writes his last words in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said in verse 10, Demas hath forsaken me. Well, he forsook Paul, but he also forsook the Lord Jesus. Why did he do that? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Love not the world, neither things are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father's not in him. No man can serve two masters. He'll either love the one and hate the other, and so forth. And Demas hath forsaken me. He's gone in another direction. Why? He loved this present world. He was trying to serve two masters, and you can't do it. You can't do it. What about Judas? Judas. Now, I know Judas was a counterfeit, but Judas, he had a great opportunity. He was with the Lord among the 12 for about 3.5 years. Can you imagine? Imagine what he experienced, what he heard, what he observed. Imagine. But yet, Mark 14, verse 10, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him unto them. He betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he heard the Lord Jesus preach. He heard him preach so many times. And my Savior, he said this. He said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Judas didn't like that. Judas wanted the Lord Jesus to establish the kingdom right then, to defeat and to destroy, to overthrow the burden of Rome. Now, by the way, he will set all things in order. Wilt thou restore again the kingdom of Israel at this time? Well, not at that time, but in a future time he will. But Judas is ready. Judas wants something to happen. He doesn't want to pay that kind of price. And you read the Gospels, Jesus, the Lord Jesus, taught them that his mission was to go to the cross and to die on the cross. Judas didn't have nothing with that. And so Judas checked out and cashed in. Why? Why? He was not pleased with the Savior. And he was not pleased with his predicament in life, his circumstance. Whatever you face, keep it in proper perspective. And a great many Christians have gone through great trials, tremendous trials. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Plow a straight row. Don't look to the left or to the right. Don't be distracted. Undesirable predicaments. Sometimes it's unfulfilled plans. People come to know the Lord. And if a man is sincere and he comes to know the Lord, his life changes and he has certain plans. He expects certain things. Jeremiah expected certain things. But many times those plans are changed and many times those plans don't materialize. Well, God has a different plan. But sometimes people are disappointed. And when you get older, I know young people, you probably get tired of people saying, when you get older, in your later years, you begin to look at your life and you say, what if I'd done this and what if I'd done that? Well, wait a minute. Listen to me. The past is done. There's no changing it. The future is uncertain. All you know is this moment, so be faithful right now. Be faithful. Be faithful. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. All right, you are exhorted to give your life, your body, a living sacrifice. My Savior died for you. He sacrificed himself in your place. It is reasonable for me to give my body a living sacrifice. And that's the sense of Romans 12, 1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right, be not conformed to this world. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ, not the ways of the world. Don't be distracted. Don't be misled. Don't be called away or focused on all the trends and fashions of the world. And just keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Christian, you're not here to be influenced by the world. You're here to influence the world. But if you conform yourself to this world, you won't know His good and acceptable and perfect will. His good will, it's that which is good. It's that which is good. His perfect will is His perfect plan for your life. His acceptable will is His plan for your life. When the perfect will is lost, and that is the case sometimes, but He has a plan for you. Sometimes Christians are disappointed because of undesirable people, people who discourage them, people who, you know, you'll hear so many times, you go out and talk with people. Invite people to visit the church and endeavor to talk with them about the gospel. And so often you hear this, well, I used to go to church and I got hurt. I didn't like what was said. It wasn't fair. Look, put that away. Even if it's legitimate, just put it away. It's not worth it. Paul said to the Corinthians, he says, why don't you rather take the wrong? There's something more important than how you feel about a matter. It's the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not telling you to overlook those things that are not right within the body of Christ, but I'm saying this, don't be so concerned about whether you get this, that, or the other. People leave the church because they say, Pastor, you let someone else teach that class and you didn't let me teach it. Well, I had a different plan. And I did the best I could. But here's a question. Are you pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ? You should be. The Lord, the Father, is pleased with Him. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Are you pleased with Him? Are you endeavoring to do His will? You should be pleased with Him because He paid a debt you could never pay yourself. And He offers you the gift of eternal life. It's freely offered to you. Cost you nothing. Cost Him everything. He has also promised you the abundant life. Now, the abundant life is not necessarily the easy life, but it's the fulfilled life. When I heard the gospel and understood it and made a decision, all I knew was I want eternity. I want to be with the Lord when I leave this old world. But He gave me something that I didn't consider initially. He gave me purpose right here and now. And if you're saved tonight, you've got a promise of glory, of heaven, of eternity. An assurance of it from the Bible, not based upon you, but based upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But you're not in heaven yet, you're here. So you have a purpose right here and right now. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be you reconciled to God. We're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have every reason not only to be pleased, but to be joyful. Be joyful. Now, I've asked you this question. Are you pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ? But here's one more step. Do you endeavor to please Him? I mentioned prayer a while ago. Listen to 1 John 3:22. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, listen, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. Isaiah 66, verse 1, the Lord said, where is the house that you build for me? Where is the place of my rest? And the point is, you could not build a building, a church building, a tabernacle, a temple that could contain the Lord. He says, where is the house that you build for me? He said, for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. That's important. God said, to this man will I, this is the man that has my attention. To this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. In other words, he approaches the Lord in humility. And a contrite spirit, he is quick to be sorry for his sin and to repent. And to examine himself. And he trembleth at my word. He has respect for the word of God. If he has respect for the Word of God, he's going to read it and study it and learn from it and grow in grace and practice what he knows. That's the individual, according to Isaiah 66, verse 2, that has God's attention. Now, you can't be pleased with the Lord, and you can't please him unless you have responded to the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ offers you the gift of eternal life, Romans 6:23. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But it is an insult to reject a gift. Do you know that if someone offers you a gift, it's an insult to reject it. And it's an insult to reject the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. You cannot please him, and you cannot be pleased with him unless you know him as Savior. Romans 8:8 says this, listen, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. In the flesh is the natural man. If you're saved, you are in the spirit. You're not in the flesh. If you're saved, you are not in the flesh. The natural man is in the flesh. You're in the spirit. Now, being in the spirit, it is possible to walk after the flesh, but you're not in the flesh. And he that is in the flesh, he cannot please God. But I'll tell you, God is not pleased with the believer who is in the spirit who walks after the flesh. Are you pleased? Are you endeavoring to please God? We sang some good hymns tonight. My Jesus, I love thee. That's 472. 473 is this, more love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee. Once earthly joy I craved, sought peace and rest. Now thee alone I seek, give what is best. This is my prayer, this all my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee, O more love to thee. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God the Father is pleased with the Son. If you endeavor to please God the Father, whatever men may think of you, you're on solid ground. But I ask you again, are you pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done for you, and the life that he has given you? Are you pleased with his will for your life? You must answer that for yourself. But you've got to get things in proper perspective and look at things as they really are. Stand with me, please, for prayer. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. You cannot please him if you do not know him. If you do not know him, let me or someone here tonight help you to understand the gospel so that you can respond to the gospel. You say, I do know him as Savior, but I have been rather distracted. I have been disappointed in this, that, or the other. Dear Father in heaven, we are thankful for all that our Savior is, all that he has done, and all that he will do. We're thankful, Father, for redemption. We're thankful for salvation, sanctification, reconciliation, adoption. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for the abundant life. My Father, help us keep things in proper perspective and in proper order, and help us to rejoice in your presence always. My Father, I don't know how you might use this in anyone's life, but I ask you to bless our invitation tonight. Help us to examine ourselves and help us to surrender and to be for you what we should be. Father, we love you and thank you. Please bless this time of invitation. We ask in our Savior's name. Every head bowed, please, every eye closed, as our pianist plays softly a hymn of invitation. Let's examine ourselves. And if you've been prone to disappointment and even complaining, let's put that away.